Omen Owen, Chapter 3, The Explanation of Everything. Albert Einstein lived from 1879 until 1955, still writing until the end and still a rebel, refusing to wear socks and tame his unruly hair. He's partially blamed for the development of nuclear weapons, even though he had little to do with it, little to do with the actual Manhattan Project from 1942 to 1945 that created the weapons dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki during the Second World War. In 1939, he wrote a letter to the U.S. President Roosevelt advising that others, most notably the Germans, would likely be working on such a weapon and that America should follow suit. For some reason, he has become a symbol for all persons interested in scientific pursuit, and we struggle on with our various interests as if he were a shining light guiding us on. It just so happens that the history of the world was going through the discovery of more and more complex science, such as nuclear fission and fusion, and it coincided with his development as one interested in such things. Anything or any idea he is said to have invented would have happened a year or so later anyway, but perhaps not exactly in the same way. His work with relativity altered the general approach of science, and in this area specifically, he may have been 10 or more years ahead of his time. He died still frustrated with the results he was getting from his unified field theory, which, quite naturally, every science in the field has tried to solve since, including myself. This year now marks 45 years since I began this quest, and this writing is the result of what Einstein sought and the culminative result of my own research. The web began in 1996, and many will say that figure is way off, but the vast majority of people, for the vast majority of people, the web was unusable prior to that until Bill Gates gave us Windows 95, which, by the way, came out in December of that year, of its name. Only an elite few used the web prior to that. But in 1996, computer sales went through the roof, and the little Albert Einsteins of the world came out to play. No longer was the problem called the unified field theory, but rather the theory of everything. And no longer did you need an old-fashioned blackboard and chalk. Now we had digital paper, and our audience was instant and stretched across the globe. Only trouble was, as the thing grew, it got harder and harder to communicate with everyone. Because email was so easy that you could bash off a letter in 1 minute and mail it to a thousand people in another minute. So as the time drifted off to 2006, 10 years later, it became very difficult to communicate with this device. Naturally, there are exceptions to that rule, namely peer-to-peer devices such as Facebook, in which you can communicate even the most minor incident to your friends, should they care to look at it. Now, in 2008, spam has all but ruined the great advantages of email, and it's almost impossible to get someone to read what you send them, especially if you've never communicated with them before. On the web, a place like ToeQuest, Theory of Everything Quest, that is very popular with Einstein clones, and the chance of getting responses is slightly improved for members over normal email, but still few will communicate even after they have read your drivel or blog, as it is colloquially referred to these days. String theorists with their highly contrived math are the ones that most feel they are following the true Einstein. If you can't write a long, drawn-out equation that only one human in several million could partially understand, then you aren't really getting to the truth of what caused the world and reality to be, so they think. The explanation of something as massive as the universe and as complex as reality must be very hard to understand, and that is why they took 4 years to get basic mathematics and another 4 to become a physicist and understand quantum physics. problem is, if any of these people did actually stumble across the truth of reality, they would be unable to communicate it to anyone who could understand what they were saying. Do you think the underlying principles of all things are really that complex and difficult to say to others? These people are so used to writing theories that they fail to realize that no theory is provable or correct. It wouldn't be called a theory if it had any validity. And it wouldn't be complex or constructed of vague quantum mechanical experiments either. Also, as most philosophers and theologians know deep down inside, beyond a certain basic understanding, we could not fathom reality per se. Sometime around when I turned 60, after 40 years of confronting religious ideals and scientific dogma and waiting a considerable amount of, pardon me, writing a considerable amount of notes that all got thrown away, I was attempting to get my head around the new science of strings that appeared to me to be replacing the old quark theory. And I was using the web to learn what I could about this new wondrous theory called M-theory, introduced by Edward Witten, to try to unify the various editions of string theory. Cyclotrons, or atom smashers, were used for a considerable number of years trying to develop quark and particle theory, and that is where all the up, down, strange, and other quarks came from, along with a variety of anti-quarks and a whole myriad of other particles. We interrupt this program to bring you a newsflash. As many who know INTS, the Institute of Non-Theoretical Science, we are attempting to find ways of guiding the world's inhabitants towards better stewardship of Earth and better sister brotherhood on this planet. And suddenly, this research has a tremendous breakthrough. There is a constant study of counterculture literature and information by the Institute to balance the mainstream material that comes from suspect sources. And suddenly, we have found the granddaddy of all in a movie called Zeitgeist. You will no doubt have seen it by the time you read this, so these comments will be just to put some form of historic notation on the moment. It is Wednesday, May 21st at 6:58 a.m. and I have just finished downloading and watching this movie that I was told about last evening. I am absolutely amazed and find this to be quite uncommonly credible and well done. A day or two ago, I was running down the real story of 9/11 and found Twin Tower story, which revealed that there were explosions that brought down Building 7 in a classical demolition fashion, plus witnesses that were hurt by explosions within the Twin Towers prior to the planes hitting them. Zeitgeist shows definite proof that the towers were an inside job brought about by black operatives reputed to be associated with the CIA and with government approval. If you have not watched the movie, I suggest you download it through BitComet and be prepared to have your eyes opened. What do we do from here? Well, that's another question. For us at the Institute, we will continue on as usual and try to get this message out so that Zeitgeist is the most watched and best known artwork ever, and then, well, who knows. We have been searching for a method of government that will supplant the present day monetary system that seems to control absolutely everything, and now with the assistance of this movie, we now know how it occurred. It is my hope that the Canadians will shun the union with the USA and that other countries will do the same. It is also my fervent hope that the next president of the US will not be a pawn to this disgraceful control by the World Bank and its war machine. But like the killing of JFK, probably the same thing will happen to Barack Obama should he succeed Bush and fulfill the Kennedys' mentorship, abandoning the foul smell of present-day politics. And here's a July 23rd comment, 2009. Happily, He survived his inauguration on the 20th and has yet to enact anything. The shadow government, those are the capitalist conspirators, could get upset about, so we will watch with interest. This chapter began as an explanation of everything, and after watching the above-mentioned counterculture material, you will at least have learned where we are coming from. Christianity is a farce, and no person as Jesus was recorded by history to ever have lived. Religion is nonsense that is simply developed from our dependence on the apparent sun, and all religions have been created by us out of this. We are the only force of God, and only we can hear our own prayers. This is a time of tremendous change. The hackers of this world have done us a great favor. The web was invented and made quite usable by good old Billy, a pirate of Silicon Valley himself, see that movie, and it came about in such a way that the governments have failed to get control of it, so we are able to view counterculture material free of charge and with no censorship. But if these forces do succeed in seizing control as they fully intend, then the battle we are waging now will get even more difficult. Well, before I was interrupted, I was trying to set a personal note on how this began for me. I don't remember the exact date, but it was during August of 2003, or slightly before that. And the revelation occurred to me that all these scientists throughout the world have been trying to find the building blocks of matter by using atom smashers, which are very expensive underground circular magnetic tunnels that collide electrons and attempt to isolate the products of the collision. All they ever got was rapidly decaying traces in detectors and nothing that could be considered proof of anything. This meant that indeed matter was not separable from energy. And a whole world of information opened up to me. At first I began to follow the trail of the new energy, because if there was actually no real matter to be found, then it meant, in fact, there was only energy, and matter was either a permanent part of it, or there was nothing at all except energy. This led to the realization that without matter, there could not be energy as we know it, because energy itself can be defined as the movement of some particle of matter. I continued to research string theory and realized that the actual theory was not really a theory at all, because it required many things that were not even in existence, and the theorists themselves could not even describe them. At that point, I began to weigh the possibilities that not only did matter not exist, but energy was only the force of thought or illusion. It occurred to me that there was only two possibilities for matter or mass, either it existed or it didn't, and since the theory was that it did, and there were only two possibilities, it would mean conclusively that the non-existence of matter was not a theory. I was astounded. I have this note, January 23rd, 2009. Looking back on this chapter, there seems little to recommend it as the explanation of everything. But I do recall just how important the moment was when counterculture news media was found, and I suppose the value of these words is in that. Everything is explained in the following chapter, so stay tuned. Thought, however, remains the one constant enigma, with little hope of ever understanding it. Now I'm Ron Soar.